From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of May 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Catch up on the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, and hear all the latest agricultural news from your director of ag programming from Illinois Public Media. His name, of course, is Dave Dickey. And I'll bring you some other information, too. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, the nearby May contract for the soft red winter wheat lost 19¾ cents to settle at $7.41, July at $7.72, down 21¼. The hard red July at $9.15¼ in Kansas City, down 17 cents today. May corn at $7.26½, up 7½ cents. July 7.29½, up 5¾. And September corn, $7.03½, up 4¾ in Chicago. December corn, the new crop, $6.65¼, 3 cents higher. March at $6.76, up 3. The May of next year at $6.84, up 3 as well. May soybean futures, $13.50½, down 8¾. July 13.52. That finished 11¾ lower. August at 13.50¾, down 12¾. September at 13.43½, down 14¼. And November, new crop beans, $13.38½, down 15¾. January futures at $13.46½, down 15¼. May soybean meal at $3.47.60, down $1.90. May soybean oil at $56.76, down 51 cents. August live cattle futures at $112.95 were down 12½ cents today. The August feeders at $132.92½ were down 12½. And the May lean hogs on this afternoon at $90.60 per 100 pounds finished $2.05 lower. June futures there at $92.15 were down 32½ cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Of course, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can visit us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $109.26 a barrel, down $1.79. Ethanol at 262 and a tenth. That's a tenth of a cent higher. Natural gas at $4.58 and a tenth of a cent, down 8 9/10. And the heating oil at $3.14 and 5 tenths of a cent, down 4½ cents on the day. That's diesel fuel. Gold futures finished the May contract at $1,514.90, down $25.20. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,745 is now down just about 62 points. The dollar at 73.03 is down 0.1. The CRB index at 358.63, down 6.4 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 59 degrees. North winds at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 38. Calm winds out of the south at 6 miles an hour. Thursday, a 30% chance of showers in Urbana-Champaign. Thunderstorms after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Partly sunny tomorrow. A high near 64 degrees. South-southwest winds at 8 to 16. They'll gust to 23. And tomorrow night, showers will be likely and a possibility of a thunderstorm or two. That'll come after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 49 degrees, west-southwest winds at 8 to 11, gusting to 15. The chance of precip is 60% in the area tomorrow night. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 68 degrees, west-northwest winds at 8 to 11 miles an hour, gusting to 15. And Friday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 50. Saturday should show us a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Continuing, mostly cloudy, a high near 71. Mostly cloudy on Saturday night, around 53. And Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. Partly high, sunny, a high near 74. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Wednesday afternoon, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
How are you today, Todd?
I'm really doing pretty well. I made a pretty good trip through the central part of the state, near Springfield and back to my hometown, Elkhart, this morning. And I went across due west of the airport, south of Champaign here, and then came back on the northern route through Hayworth. And I must tell you, Paul, that I saw one field that was up and you could row it for corn. And nothing else worked on the way over. That field was just as I hit the moraine there at Elkhart Hill. If anybody's familiar, there's a moraine that runs through Illinois, and that's one of the landmarks in the center of Logan County. That field was not too far from there. So that's about an 80-mile trek across going west from the airport here in Champaign, due west, and then coming back the same 80-mile trek, but I was 20 miles north of it, and still didn't see anything that was planted, really.
Yeah. Yesterday, meteorologists said over the next 2 weeks there'd be three little nuisance showers coming through, and some would be a little heavier. But he said, you know, in the next 2 weeks, we would get probably 30-40% of the crop planted. The trouble is that the forecast got a lot wetter overnight. I think the noonday models confirmed it. Corn basically struggled and basically fought off all the other bearishness on the other trading floors. And the commodity fund liquidation and the major drops, of course, in some of the New York commodities, gold, crude oil, silver, the stock market, and put in a pretty strong performance. And, of course, we did hear about China possibly loading corn that they've purchased. The export market in corn has been sloppy. The good high-priced gasoline has encouraged blending of ethanol, and the corn price dropping also has encouraged profitability in that sector. So as a result of that, corn was basically the steel rod to keep strong today.
I did read the wire service report on China. It looked, at least from the wire service report, as if that might have been corn purchased in March, being loaded out of where? The Pacific Northwest, I think, possibly today. And then something else that probably was more rumor than anything else, the idea that China might be back into the marketplace at this time for more corn. What do you think?
Well, we understand that of their auctions, they sold wheat, sold corn, basically all the corn, and their soybean offers weren't accepted. So there does seem to be tremendous demand. Their livestock numbers are tremendous, and as a result of that, it's logical with their large livestock numbers they need corn. That's the rumor. The Feed Grain Council talks about it. The other thing that was brought up, that this metals market, of course, Sunday night will be remembered for a long time for other things, but there was a major drop in the silver market. The margin requirements, maybe higher interest rates in the EU, but the fund liquidation and the tremendous sell-off has created some weakness in basically the entire commodity structure. A couple of points there, you know, if we did get bin Laden, you know, what would happen if we would get Gaddafi with our marvelous technical abilities? Of course, that would affect crude oil. But the big factor here is that silver got very, very expensive, and there was a large, you know, open interest. It was going nonstop up, but, you know, the exchanges allow all this liquidation at once, and it seems like that's a little unfair and caused distortions in the marketplace. But one of the factors in a successful commodity transaction is that you have to have winners, and obviously they took all their profits, and that's the reason why the markets have been struggling here for the last 3 days.
Can you look ahead a week to next week's USDA reports? Some WASDE figures are due out next week, other reports as well. What numbers do you think are important, and what will you be looking for?
Well, of course, the soybean number, what the market's basically telling us that the soybean market is over with. And, I'm sure that the profitability to plant corn, near as we can tell, there's been so much new crop corn sold. They're going to try to get it in at some point in time, even if yield losses. But it probably tells me that we've probably the government's going to increase bean carryover maybe 10 million bushels. And I think they're going to keep the corn market pretty snug.
Anything else we ought to talk about before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He joins us from his Oakland, Illinois office on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Paul again, you can always do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report there each and every business day, not long after it airs on our radio stations. And we put it up on our voicemail as well, so if you can't get to the website and you're in the field and you can't tune us in on the radio right away, you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. At 10:15 and 3:15 daily, we either post the opening market numbers or the closing market numbers and a bit of analysis. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail. You can dial it up at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. The number to call, 217-333-3434.
Support for the closing market report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, a couple of notes about my trip to the West this morning. There were some reasons behind that, but I'll tell you that in a moment. I did make a trek over to Elkhart, which is my hometown in Logan County. That's between Springfield and Lincoln on 55. If you're not familiar with Lincoln, Illinois, Springfield and Bloomington, right there on Route 66, Interstate 55. It's about 80 miles due west of the airport, just south of Champaign-Urbana here. And I made a phone call to check and see whether my brothers were planting or not. And indeed, they were in the field and planting this morning. Tim said he was on the mobile farm. And yes, that is named the mobile farm because it was purchased from Mobile Oil Company. They had thought they might be sinking a coal mine there at one point. Anyway, they didn't. And so that farm was purchased by the family. He was on that farm and said they had planted today, but not yesterday or the day before. But they were in the field on Sunday, too, about halfway done with their corn acreage. So while I didn't see anything planted in only one corn field planted in that 160-mile trek that I made as a round trip coming through central Illinois, you get to the west of that Interstate 55, I suspect, and they're going, and probably pretty good. I would think Litchfield and south probably is stopped just from my trips to St. Louis recently. I can't imagine that they have gotten out of that soggy weather, but there are places that are in the midst of planting at this point. And I saw my Aunt Dorothy this morning. She's not really my aunt, but I'll say that I saw her this morning. And the other side of Gleason's in that area, they're about halfway done, too. So there you go. There is corn planted in the state, and there are places that are moving. Those are things just to keep in mind. I made that trip this morning over there because Mose D passed away, and I want to talk a little bit about him and the importance of ancestral backgrounds and the people that you've known when you've come up in a farm community. Mose and his brother John lived across the street, and John and Helen did. Mose did not, but they farmed across the road from us. And here's something I think that's kind of important. That family, John told me, he died when he was 95, about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. John told me that he knew the man that broke the prairie on his farm. Now, think about that. I will turn 47 next week. John was 95, but there's a direct link, one, two, back to third one, that somebody knew, John, I knew John, who knew the man who broke the prairie on his farm. So we don't go very far back in agriculture. We really don't. And it's important to remember that history. Mose D. Was an important man in my life. He's one of my father's very best friends, and we will miss him dearly. Mose served in the medical corps in France in World War II. If you know somebody who served in World War II or any war, remember them and respect them. They deserve it. Period. Nothing more than that, nothing less. They deserve your respect. We thank all of those veterans. I thank Mose for his lifetime of service to the agricultural community, for his service to the country, and to the community there in Elkhart, and for being a very, very good friend of my father. And I do thank you for letting me take the time to talk to you just a little bit about him as well. He was an important part of the Elkhart community. Mose, of course, wasn't his name. That was his nickname, and it's kind of that's important too. If you come from those small communities, you know that a nickname can be an important part of life in those communities. So thanks for taking the time, and let me talk to you just a bit about that this morning.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Dave Dickey is here now. He has today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a group of farmers and others with property inside the Birds Point New Madrid floodway are seeking class action status in a lawsuit against the federal government, alleging the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers wrongfully took their property. On Monday night, the Corps blew a hole into a Missouri levee to ease pressure on flood walls protecting towns where the Ohio River flows into the Mississippi. In the suit filed Tuesday in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims in Washington, the plaintiffs argue that the U.S. government so damaged their property that it constituted a taking of private property for public use without just compensation under the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. ConAgra Foods has made a $4.9 billion bid for Ralcorp Holdings Incorporated, which would broaden its business making store brand products and make it the third largest packaged food company in the United States. Ralcorp, owner of the Post cereal brand, makes private label and branded packaged foods. The $86 per share bid is a 3.2% premium over Ralcorp's Tuesday closing stock price of $83.33. Black cutworm moths caught in traps are raising concerns among entomologists across the Corn Belt due to the coming emergence of late-planted corn. Intense captures of black cutworm moths has been reported around the Corn Belt, including Ohio, Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois. An intense capture is defined as more than 9 moths captured in a trap over a 2-night period. Kellogg's first quarter net income fell 12% as the world's biggest cereal maker dealt with higher costs and spent more on its brands. The food maker earned $366 million, or $1 a share, for the period ending April 2nd. That's down from $418 million, or $1.09 a share a year earlier. Kellogg still expects full-year earnings to climb in the low single digits, implying earnings of $3.33 to $3.40 a share. The first day of the Wheat Quality Council's annual Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour estimated yields of 40 bushels per acre compared to last year's 40.7 bushels per acre. Parts of Kansas that were expected to be garden spots disappointed Wheat Tour scouts. Nebraska, which tallied the lowest planted wheat acreage in its history this year at 1.5 million acres, had an average yield of 42.3 bushels per acre based on 10 farmers' averages across the state. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On this Wednesday afternoon, we're joined by Patrick Kaufman. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, to take up the cash grain markets with us. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
So let's start with something that probably has made its way through the cash grain market fairly quickly. There's an idea that China is loading out in the Pacific Northwest corn at this point. What do we know about that, if anything?
Well, that certainly is, make the assumption that they've made statements that they need or net buyers of corn, and if they're loading out, that would give indication that supply and that takes less usage from U.S. corn.
Indeed. So tell me about in your area how hard it is to find old crop corn, for instance, to run the ethanol plant, and how far you're booked into the future, maybe.
Not very hard. I mean, we've been full for the last 2 or 3 months, having shortened hours, and in the last 30 days, of course, we haven't had the opportunity for our producers to get in the field and plant. Therefore, corn $7.50, you know, $7. You know, our producers have the opinion or are wondering why the market has set back here 70 cents when they can't get in the field. Last year was certainly ideal situations. We had everything planted by May 1st. We haven't turned a wheel here locally in a 60-mile radius. As you go up north in the sands, we probably have gotten 5% in the ground. But, you know, I think with price and we've just seen ample movement. We're full for pretty much for the May time slot. Now, June, July, we have some coverage. Now, August and September is a big concern for all end users. There's carry goes away in July or after July. Therefore, if you have a hedge, you should, you know, base it, you know, price it versus the basis and move it before July. Therefore, commercials and producers alike don't have an incentive to keep corn after July. So we really started a month earlier with harvest being completed by October 1st, and, you know, we're pushing this back. So we're seeing the movement earlier than normal.
Right. So and very quickly, your bids for the day.
Delphi is posted at 723. Climbers is posted at 732. IBEC is posted at 721, and our Delphi bean bid is 1333.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
And that's Pat Kaufman back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Cordon Bleu Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1828, Casparus van Woden of Amsterdam patented chocolate milk powder. In 1871, Mary Florence Potts of Ottumwa, Iowa, patented the Mrs. Potts Sad Iron. It featured a detachable handle so several iron bodies could be heated and used in turn as one cooled down. Three irons, one handle, and one stand were sold as a set. In 1883, Peter Cooper died. Cooper obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1895, a cough syrup manufacturer, Pearl B. Waite, purchased the patent and developed a packaged gelatin dessert. Waite's wife, May, named it Jell-O. In 1887, William Cumming Rose was born, an American biochemist. He spent a decade researching human diet. His research established the importance of 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And in 1932, vitamin C was isolated by C.G. King at the University of Pittsburgh. After 5 years of work on untold thousands of lemons, King and his colleagues isolated a crystalline substance identified as vitamin C. King was given a patent for his isolation process, but he was denied a patent for the vitamin itself since it was a known substance that had been isolated by a different method 3 years earlier. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mike Tenor today of tstorm.net. Thanks, Mike, for being on the program with us today. We do appreciate that. Farmers in this part of the world would like some sunshine. Can you promise that over the next few days or not?
Well, just keep in mind, I am only the messenger, so I cannot really do anything about the weather, but I can certainly tell you about it. So that's probably the best that I'll be able to do right now, but it is sunny out at the moment in a lot of the central U.S., so there will be some soil warming going on over the next few days. But we do have several issues that are all developing at the same time, and right now the weather forecast is reaching a critical juncture because we could go one way or the other as far as turning warm and sunny or whether we turn wet and stay warmer. So either way, we turn warmer. But there are some issues taking place right now. I mean, number one is the first one you talked about, which is that as you progress further and further south in the Corn Belt, and especially from southern Illinois through southern Indiana and into western Ohio, there's been very heavy rain over the last 30 days. Many areas received 10 to 20 inches of rain, and that is simply much too much water for that area. And not only that, but the heavy rain extends further to the south into the delta regions of southeast Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, and even into parts of Kentucky. Much of Kentucky, in fact, completely shattered their April rainfall record, and those records go back to 1895. Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio also set records for April rainfall. All of that being said, Todd, the one issue that we're watching right now is that we do have two weak storm systems moving through the central U.S. The first one is moving through right now. It's out in the Dakotas. That will move through tomorrow through Friday night and Saturday. Each one of them will produce a little bit of rain on the order of, say, 0.2 to 0.4 of an inch of rain. Between all of that, we're expecting around a half inch for much of the Corn Belt, including central Illinois. So we need to keep an eye on that because we just want to keep the planters rolling at this point. Beyond that, the next issue that takes place is early next week. A much warmer pattern develops this weekend. We should easily see highs in the 80s across much of southern and central Illinois, possibly as early as Sunday, but more likely Monday and Tuesday. But all indications are that as soon as we warm up, we'll send humidity through the roof, and at that point, we should set the stage for thunderstorm development across much of the Corn Belt, especially areas along and north of I-80. But given the recent history, we believe here at T-Storm Weather that the chances also extend further to the south into central and southern parts of the Corn Belt. So all in all, this is not the best weather forecast, but there is some time for maybe things to change for the better.
Mike, thanks so much. We do appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Mike Tenor is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. You have a safe day and get in the field soon. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products.